thing that really stands out to me is we are, as Pastor Mike Mele says, we are the carriage that carries the King. So everywhere we go, the Spirit of God goes. And if you don't see yourself like that, then you're going to forget about whose house you're really living in. Let's go ahead and pull that message up. The title of this new message that we're going to start today is Remember Whose House You're In. We have to remember that the house that we're in. We're not talking about, Jesus was in the temple, as you can see in the picture, if you can make that out. That's what we're going to talk about, Jesus going through that temple and clearing that temple. But I want you to know he wants to go through your temple today, and he wants to clear your temple. It's not about just a church building. That's a part of it. But what about our temple? So in going to Nicaragua, we had to understand that we're not going there to feel sorry for the people. We're not going there just to bring candy or just to do this and that, to feed people and so on. No, we're going there to bring the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the power of God to a place that desperately needs it. And so we saw the Spirit of Jesus rule in an area that is completely ruled by darkness, because everywhere we go, we carry him with us. So I want to get this message started today. Again, this is Remember Whose House You're In. And this is based on the fact that Jesus told us to be a house of prayer. He said, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer. But understand, what he's really talking about is you and me. And he's not talking about that we have to get down on our knees and clasp our hands and say a prayer before we go to bed or when we wake up or whatever. No, it's be a house of prayer. This is what goes on in this house. There's communication with God happening. I want to hear what God is saying all the time, not just, you know, a few minutes a day here and there and then go about doing my own thing. So be a house of prayer. Now, in Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 through 17, Jesus began his ministry at the Passover just as he now ended at a Passover. And I find that to be interesting because Jesus, it all started, his ministry literally started at the Passover and ends at the Passover. And the Passover, if you don't know what that is when God told the people of Israel, look, the death angel is about to pass over this place. And the only way to be safe is you're going to have to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, on both sides and on the top. And whether you see it or not now, you get that picture. Jesus was, you know, nailed, his hands and his feet, and then the crown of thorns on his brow. And what you get there is a picture of the cross where the blood would have dripped from the top doorpost down to the bottom. It was the picture of a cross a couple thousand years before, right? So God's intention was always that Jesus would be the Passover lamb, and now Jesus literally begins his ministry at Passover and then literally ends his ministry at Passover, where he literally becomes the final Passover lamb who was sacrificed for you and me to keep the death angel away from us. And of course, the death that is our great concern is not that our bodies go into a grave, but the word death means separation. It's that separation from God for eternity, from his love for eternity. And so Jesus is just about to cleanse the temple, just like he had done on one other occasion 3 years earlier. Now, most people don't even realize, but Jesus didn't go into that temple just one time. He went into that temple twice. He started his ministry going in the temple and clearing it out, and he ended his ministry going in the temple and clearing it out. John chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. Now, you get the picture of Jesus going through there with that temple. How many of you get the feeling he meant business? And I like to say in our men's Bible study all the time, yeah, this is little baby, sweet, fluffy Jesus who's going through that temple, and he's letting his Father's justice be seen. And then we read in Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 through 13, it says, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. And so there is a command found here when he says, you make. It's the Greek word poieo, and it's the command seems to be centering on what those people are making God's house into. Can I tell you that in especially modern day American Christianity, people have turned God's house into something that God never intended for it to be. Whether we're talking about a church corporately or whether we're talking about us individually. And so in verse 13, Jesus says, but you make it a den of robbers. I mean, he's using extremely strong language. You make it a den of robbers. So here's the question. What is it that aroused the anger of the Lord? What made Jesus so angry that he would go through the temple and begin to, with a whip and popping that whip and turning tables over and throwing their money around and chasing the animals out and all? What would make Jesus so angry? And by the way, anger is not a sin. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. I think one of the biggest problems that we have now in the American church is that we're not angry at the things that God is angry at. And I'm not talking about, and here's the thing, it's got to start with us, not the other person. We got to be angry at what we've allowed the enemy to do in us and through us and how he's ripped us off. And we got to be angry that we were willing to let him do it. Because I found something out. When you're angry, you're willing to do something. People will do something when they're angry that they'll never do when they're not angry. And it's time for righteous anger, righteous indignation to rise up in the people of God, not to just talk about what the world's doing out there and the homosexuals are doing and the abortionists are doing, but to rise up and say, how in the world have I myself allowed myself to go to sleep and just let all these things take place in our country, in our families, in our churches? How is it that I begin to allow other things to become more important to me than God and his kingdom? And it ought to make us angry. And then you take that anger and you use it in the right direction. See, Jesus was angry, but there's something that happens when there's righteous indignation. Tell somebody the house gets cleaned out. And you got to get to a place where you say enough is enough. I'm not playing religious games anymore. I'm not holding on to grudges and silly little things that I refuse to. You know, we say things like, well, you know what? I'll never do this again. I'll never serve God this way again. I was trying to serve God and this happened and that happened. If you fall into that, understand, you are directly listening to a demonic spirit trying to keep you out of the will of God because he wants to destroy your potential. So it's time to get the whip out. Tell somebody it's time to get the whip out. Not to beat other people, but to get my house cleaned. Amen? So what has aroused the anger of the Lord? Well, there are several things that we see that were happening at that time that aroused the anger of the Lord. Like I told the first service, same bat time, same bat channel. So just wanted to whet your appetite a little bit, but we wanted to let the Lord have his way in this service today, this morning, and in both services. And so what we're going to do is next week, I'm going to begin talk about several things that Jesus was angry about. It's more than just one thing. And then how does that apply to our lives? Amen. And how does it apply to the church, the corporate church? And so we're going to talk about that. And then as always, we always have to go back to his very first command. Anybody know what his very first command was? Repent. And the reason we say that is you can't even love God and love people until you come to repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is to change the way I think, to start thinking the way he thinks. And so what happens is when we're going through talking about all these things that Jesus commanded his disciples to do, you find out in your flesh you can't do it. And he says that's why you got to go back to number one. You got to go back to repent. Of course you can't do it. Love your enemies? What do you mean love your? You got to repent, right? What does that mean? Jesus, help me to see it like you see it. Forgive those who have hurt me so deeply, I can't do that. You need to repent. Jesus, I need to see things the way you see them. Amen. So every one of these things that we're teaching on, you always are going to have to go back to number one, repent, because your flesh does not want to do these things. Your flesh wants to remain justified in staying in its mess. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Okay, so why don't we just begin this, I'll be preaching on this maybe a couple more weeks, but why don't we just begin this by just simply saying, Lord, examine my house. Cleanse me. Lord, get everything that's corrupt out of me. Lord, I yield myself to you. Jesus, bring your whip with you. Turn over whatever tables you need to turn over. Lord, expel everything that needs to be expelled from this temple. I belong to you. I've been bought with a price. It was a price I could not pay for myself, but you willingly did. Lord, cleanse this temple. Cleanse us. Wash us from the inside out. Apply your blood to us, Lord. Lord, we put the blood on the doorpost today of our lives. Have your way in us, Lord. Expose what needs to be exposed. Build up what needs to be built up. Thank you for it, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.